Hello, photography lovers. It's May 29th, and you're listening to the Fashion Photography Podcast, along with me, your host, Virginia. Now you know the date, and the only thing that you might not be very sure about is what kind of day is today. And if I tell you that in today's episode, we're here with a guest, you already know that it's Wednesday. Because every Wednesday, we're here with another creative sharing their story and their secrets. And every other Friday, I'm answering your questions and giving you some tips and tricks on how to build sustainable photography business. Today, my guest is not just a regular person because she's having a birthday. So let's all gather on our Instagram, photography_podcast, and wish Sarah Brown happy birthday and celebrate along with her. Because today, she's giving us some really big insights from her work. For example, the best thing that she learned during her assisting experience. And also, she's telling us a story about smashing your gear in front of a client, which sounds really scary, yeah. But there are also other very cool bits, like for example, she's telling us about one of her favorite shots. And by the way, this is one of the images that she's most recognized with on the internet space. And today we have the opportunity to know how this photo was made and also how she gets to be so productive on her social media channels because she's crushing them. But we don't talk only about social media. She's sharing with us the secret to make her photography appealing and interesting, not just for the audience, but also for her clients. If you want to know more about this and all the other topics in the podcast today, all you have to do is just listen to the episode. And you can do this while submitting your work to Lucy's magazine, because they're waiting for your beauty or fashion editorial. So let's not waste time.
Hi, I'm Sarah Brown. I'm a fashion and beauty photographer. I'm mainly beauty, and I'm 24 and I live in London.
Have you always been based in London?
No, I'm actually from up north in a place called Newcastle, but there's really not much for me there. Like, I feel like London is just the hub, so that's why I'm down here.
When you decided to move to London?
Well, I actually went to uni in Manchester. Mm-hmm. It's a really good industry up there, to be fair. I feel like it's more commercial, but I went there for uni and I kind of just wanted more, and I just thought London is a place for me.
What were you studying there?
So I studied photography. I kind of have mixed thoughts about my kind of uni. I feel like a lot of photographers will tell you this. It was very theory-based, which isn't bad for everyone, but it just wasn't for me. Like, I really wasn't a big fan of uni because I didn't really learn much technical or kind of things actually about the industry, which I think is so important. I feel like the best thing, like, to learn is to actually just get stuck in there and assist. I feel like I've learned so much more assisting people than I did at uni, which is an expensive mistake.
What was the best thing that you learned during your assisting experience?
So I assisted the photographer Rankin, if you know him.
Yep.
He was pretty cool to assist for because, like, people weren't actually teaching me, but it's just stuff that you can't learn. Like, you can't be taught it. You have to watch it. The best thing I learned at Rankin wasn't actually anything to do with photography. It was kind of like, even with like really big clients, things can be last minute and spontaneous. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And you have to be prepared for a backup plan.
Yeah, exactly. Like, honestly, just plan, and even things can still go wrong, even with the biggest people.
Can you share with us a recent story that you have with a situation exactly like this, when you were planning, and then you had to come up with a backup plan?
Oh, God. Very recently, actually. On Friday, I was on a shoot for Cosmo, and my camera was on the table, and I had my tether cable. I got caught in it and it just smashed on the floor and I was in front of all these people.
Oh my God.
I know, there was glass everywhere, but luckily it was just my filter on top of my lens. So it looked so much worse than it was and my camera was fine. But do you know when you just look really unprofessional? I was just, oh, it was horrible. Yeah, but I got my camera fixed and it was fine. Oh. But one of those things you just don't want to happen on set.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You still want to look professional on set, but yeah. Having a backup camera is also a plan.
Yeah. Well, luckily I had a backup camera and a couple of other lenses, but Oh, it's just one of those, like, it's one of the things that just looked so much worse than it was, but obviously, like, it still looked bad to people.
And what about the rest of the shoot? How did it turn out?
It was, honestly, it was fine. My lens actually still worked because the filter had smashed. Mm-hmm. It just looked really weird and everything was sharp and everything. So I was kind of lucky, but honestly, these things happen.
And for you, having sharp images is extremely important because we've seen your portfolio. And for those of you who haven't seen it, you can actually go to Sarah's website. Sarah, do you want to share it with us?
Yeah, so my website is www.sarahbrownphotography.co.uk.
And of course, you can find it in the show notes, guys. There you have some really stunning projects.
Oh, thank you.
Which one is the most recent one that you would like to take us behind the scenes?
One of my shoots, it was with two models. On my website, it's called Bintu and Sophia. I didn't actually plan that as a kind of double shoot, but that is one of my favourite images. One of the girls is really freckly, and then one of the girls got dark skin, and it's just one of my favourite images. Oh, I just love it. That was shot in Manchester with a makeup artist called James Malloy. It's just one of those spontaneous shoots which they just turn out the best.
No. You cannot finish your story just like that. We need more details. Come on. Because it was like a backup plan idea. How did you end up with two models in the studio? And we all know that the black skin is a little bit different in terms of lighting. How did you manage to get them both together looking so amazing?
We've got two models because we were like, we want more content. Like, we could might as well shoot two in one day. Mm-hmm. We ended up just putting them together. I do agree with shooting darker skin is different with light, but I think, if I remember correctly, I just put an adjustment layer in Capture and kind of matched it. So I just kind of like painted in the adjustment layer.
And what about in terms of lighting on the shoot? What did you do?
I was in James's studio, the makeup artist, and he has like a nice little cove. Honestly, studio's amazing. I just flashed a pro photo head to the cove and just used the cove as my light. And that's literally it.
Oh, that's so nice.
It's a really soft way of light. I just think it flatters everyone, that kind of light, because it's just such a big light source. And it's easy. It's like not so much equipment everywhere.
Do you usually use a lot of equipment?
Shooting against a cove is one of my favourite ways to shoot, but I actually don't have a cove. Because I shoot from home, but I don't have a cove. I just have Colouramas. So sometimes I use a scrim when I'm on big campaigns. Mm-hmm. So I'm not just using a wall. So kind of like, so it looks a bit better. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes I use a scrim and I put two heads against it so I can get a bit more light. That's quite good. But apart from that, I just kind of use umbrellas and stuff. I'm kind of like a really simple one light setup kind of girl. That's me.
It's very funny because people don't even think about the fact that usually when you shoot a beauty, which is just a small part of a human, usually it takes a lot of light.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I try and shoot quite high on my f-stop so I can get quite a lot of detail. So I try, obviously, with that in mind, you do need a lot of light. So I just try and put it up full blast and whack it out.
And you have so many beauty editorials on your website and in your portfolio, but they're with very different ideas. So how do you come up with your ideas?
It's about the team as well as me, because some makeup artists can have the craziest ideas and it works with my crazy ideas. I love working with makeup artists who have like different visions. I don't know. I feel like the industry is very, everyone kind of does the same thing. And I want to be that photographer that stands out and does something a little bit different, but still make it look beautiful, if you get me.
Oh, I do. I do get you, because everyone is trying to be very different. So do you have a particular strategy on that?
You know, this is going to sound so strange, but sometimes I go to like craft shops and I just literally look around thinking, what would look good on a face?
I don't think it's weird. Not at all. I do the same.
Oh, God. Because it works and you'd never know. Like, you'd just gone to a craft shop.
It does work, especially when you're shooting always in a studio. It kind of can get a little bit boring. So it's always nice to have something on hand that you can use in the studio.
Yeah, exactly. Like just little kind of props or like little things you could stick on the face. God, this makes me sound like I'm in like high school. But, you know, like, just honestly, I get so much inspiration just looking at just different things I can incorporate into beauty shoots. It's fun.
Have you ever had a moment when you pick up something from a store like that and you share the idea with your makeup artist and they're like, are you freaking crazy?
I'm actually doing like a personal project I haven't really told anyone about, actually. So every model I shoot, I'm shooting them in a wrestling mask, which sounds strange, but I want to kind of shoot about kind of like 100 models or something and then just do something with all those images. However, the first model who did it was like, what on earth are you making me do? Like, do you know those like Mexican wrestling masks? It's like that.
Yeah.
It was very odd, but it looks cool. I've got like a whole kind of wall of Polaroids with models and wrestling masks. It's hard to explain to mum and dad.
Aren't they covering a lot of their faces?
Yes, but you can like, because I always shoot at the end of shoots. I just kind of say, oh, when you do this little thing I'm working on. And sometimes they have crazy lips and like crazy sparkly eyes, which come through and it's cool. I don't know what to do with it yet, though. Like, I don't know what to do with all these images. Something will happen there.
Whenever you're ready with the idea what to do with them, give us a sign. I bet everyone wants to see them right now.
I was either thinking like a coffee table book or like an exhibition, something. I don't know. I'll have to have a think.
You can do both.
But I do want to shoot. I want to shoot a lot of models though, like make it a big thing. So who knows? Could be 30 years.
Because you do so many shoots and you mentioned that you wanted to have more content. Do you ever shoot just for your social media?
All the time. I literally test all the time. My tests are my favourite work in my portfolio, and it's the things that gets me jobs. So they are so important for me, even though they're unpaid.
How many tests do you do for like a month, let's say?
Oh, I don't know. Kind of recently, I haven't been able to test as much. But when I do, I try and kind of get a team and maybe do at least two different girls on one day so I can just kind of get lots of creativity going and get some more tests in. And I like to do kind of different things each time to kind of put more in my book.
I think this is always a great idea to shoot two things at the same day because the crew is already there. So why don't we just...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
I'm very lucky that I have my own studio as well because it's so flexible. Like, say if we needed to run over, if we needed to get those last looks in, because obviously two girls, it's quite a lot of work for a makeup artist and hair and all that. So I'm lucky that we can just kind of shoot till like 9 p.m. I don't think my boyfriend likes it though, because I live with him.
And what about your team? Do they like it?
Luckily, I work with people who are just really passionate about it as well. So I get the vibe. They kind of just don't care. Like, they just want to get the job done as well as possible.
How did you find them?
Well, I still do work with new people, actually. I find people off Instagram and they find me as well, to be fair. I find people off Instagram and I just kind of get a vibe from their feed, I guess. And they have to be good at skin. That's the main thing. Makeup artists. That's the main thing I look for.
Can you help a little bit to the people that are listening to the podcast and are very new to this photography scene? What would you advise them to say in their Instagram DM when they're approaching other colleagues to gather their team?
You don't want to come across as like someone who's sending these messages to everyone, like copied and pasted, you know? So maybe like kind of research who you want to work with, like the person you're going to message. And just say something which is like you've actually gone out and looked at their work. Like, oh, I love that editorial you did with the stars or whatever. So like you actually make it a connection with them. They will see you've done the research. So they'll respect that rather than just a copied and pasted, I want to work with you, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, tag your portfolio as well, because, yeah, people want to see that.
Yeah, I think it's important because if you're a good photographer, even if you're at the beginning of your career, if they can see that you're dedicated, they will answer. And if you're posting, for example, only photos of your dog...
Exactly. It's actually so important. Like, I know this is such a millennial thing to say, but it's so important to have an aesthetically good looking Instagram feed because it's the first people's things someone's going to look at when they scroll. And I just think it's so important.
And your feed is so amazing. So maybe you can give us some tips on that.
Yeah, I actually plan my Instagram out before I post because I post in threes and it's quite well thought out, my Instagram. So I use a app called Unum. which is spelled UNUM.
Yeah.
You can plan your Instagram and you can like drop things in and swipe them around and see what would look better. And it just makes you realise what your Instagram's going to look like before you post. Which is important, I think. Like what goes where and like what colours work with what.
It is important.
You can schedule a post, say if you're busy. But mm-hmm. I don't do that, obviously.
Well, Instagram is taking a lot of our time lately. And in our Facebook group called the Fashion Photography Podcast, Tim Copsey asked what social media platform is the best for fashion photographers to promote their work. Obviously, he's spending hours in social media trying to promote his work, and he is very mm-hmm. focused on his efforts. But this is an issue that all creatives must wrestle with. And I wanted to also ask you, do you ever use other social medias? And what would you suggest?
Instagram is definitely my number one. I used to use Facebook. I should really think about the bigger picture, but it's not as good as Instagram. It's just not for me. I just can't connect with it as much. I used to use Twitter, but I don't really use that either. I think Instagram is so important for getting jobs and kind of showing your portfolio and everything. But I also think it's really, I think it's actually really bad for your mental health as well, because you're constantly comparing your work to all these people you aspire to be. And they're posting all their good bits and they're not posting anything negative. All you're seeing is how perfect their life is. And how perfect they're getting all the clients, they're getting all the, you wish that your work was as good as them. But you'd never see the bad side of it. And I think like that must play on our minds so much. Definitely.
Whoa. I did not thought you were going to talk about mental health connected to Instagram.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's true. I cannot lie.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not just you going right to depression state. It can be very nerve-wracking because, for example, I had like, I think 3 months when it was just so hard for me to reach more people. And I really stopped having the satisfaction from using the social media.
Yeah, totally. I used to post a lot more than I did. I actually suffer from like mental health myself, like kind of have my own struggles. But I think it's so important to actually just take a break, even just for your creativity, like you can't be consumed by it. Because at the end of the day, like people are still going to look at your work, that you can't just base your work on everyone else. Like I always say, the only person you should compare yourself to is the person you used to be, not anyone else. Because everyone else has got their own journey, haven't they?
I love this.
I think Instagram's the one, but it's such an unfair... I think it really is unfair with creatives because obviously the new algorithm, you need kind of a following or like... the engagement to get your work at the top of the feed. It's like a struggle even to do that, which is, I don't like that at all. And it is a battle for everyone.
For you, the makeup artist is actually very important. How much do you think that we should go into the makeup artist's work and make decisions along with them or maybe instead of them?
It's important to kind of have like a team effort.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to have a vision yourself, but I think that is their profession. That is their niche, so they can have so much more input. They will just have an input that you can't give because that's their profession.
And they know more than you do about it, right?
Exactly. Like you can give your vision and you can say, oh, this doesn't work or whatever. But I think it's important to let them have a say because it's their work at the end of the day and you're working with them. So I think they deserve it.
True. And for example, when you do your personal projects, do you usually work with different artists, makeup artists?
I'm actually looking at working with newer people at the minute. But I do work with a few of the same makeup artists because I just know they're like on my level with creativity and they just kind of get me. But I do want to branch out. It's just, I don't know, it's hard when you're in like a good space of working with the same people and it works, why change it? But then it's also good to meet new people. So
yeah,
you never know what you're going to get.
And they can also give you some very new and bright ideas, which is always nice.
Yeah, exactly. They'll bring something new to the table. Just like I am, I'm Pinteresting my head off all the time. And they will be too. So it's good to get people's like ideas flowing and get the creativity out there, I think, definitely.
Usually when you do your personal projects, do you go to them with the main idea? Or maybe sometimes they're approaching you with a certain project?
Yeah, it's kind of a mixture. So sometimes I'm kind of have an idea in mind And I'd say, this is my vision. What can you input to that? I shot with Charlie Howard the other day.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Oh, she's amazing. She's so cool. I just had an idea of like different types of netting and fabric, but I just didn't have any idea with makeup. I just, because that's the only idea I had. Because obviously that's a prop from a craft shop, as I've said before. So I just said to Nikki, the makeup artist, I just said, do what you want. I trust you. Because I do trust her. Nice. She always nails it.
Awesome. And please tell us a little bit about that, because I'm a big fan of Charlie. Tell us what happened there and how you got her contacts.
Oh, God, yeah. That was for Arcadia magazine. I work for them quite a lot, and they're really good to work for, actually. They give me some cool people to shoot, which is handy. But yeah, so Charlie, it was kind of like a beauty shoot, but with like a body positivity thing to it, because obviously she's very big with that. She promotes that quite a lot.
And guys, if you don't know who's Charlie Howard, go to Instagram, write down her name, and you'll see how body positive she is. She's amazing.
She's really cool.
She is amazing, true. So the magazine actually gave you the details. This was your very first meeting together.
So yeah, she was really cool to work with, and she was just so, I went out of that shoot just feeling so much better about myself. She gave me this like this confidence I just didn't have. So it was a feature actually about her, and they interviewed her, which is actually a very interesting read. You can find on Arcadia. But they gave me complete control with the whole idea, with all the netting, and I just went out to the craft shop and bought it all.
This is so cool, because when you're shooting models, well, that's one thing. And when you're shooting people that are already recognized out there, because she is also a model, but she's very recognized for the fact that she is all about body positivity.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of different. Now you have to bring her out. It's not exactly the same with a model. Usually with a model, they are there to serve the purpose of the editorial or the beauty. But when you're shooting someone who's already well known, you have to bring a little bit of them.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly what I wanted to do. Because obviously she's kind of like the face of Pat McGrath, really, like her makeup. So I wanted to bring like a really big beauty element into it. But then I wanted to show her, like, her body off, because she's beautiful.
She is.
And she's all about that. So I wanted to get a hint of that in there. And the whole beauty aspect, which I think I did okay.
Oh, you did great.
Thank you.
And this is actually not the very first time you're shooting influencers and also celebrities, because in your portfolio, you have photos of Jamila Jamal. Which is so cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, she was so cool.
I've never met her, but I'm a big fan of one of the shows that she is working for.
The Good Place.
Yes, exactly, The Good Place.
She was actually so cool to shoot, because she didn't let me retouch any of her photos, which is kind of daunting for me, because I have to get my lighting and everything really well. But I love the fact she didn't let me retouch it, because it just screams body positivity, like you don't need to change anything.
And she's very famous for that. If you go back through her history, and I'm very surprised, all in a positive way, that she didn't let you retouch. I had no idea about this.
I was so scared about that shoot, because I thought, if I just do something wrong, I can't retouch it. But luckily they turned out okay. I'm really happy with them. She's just beautiful anyway, honestly.
Yes, she's amazing. Absolutely. Very, very beautiful woman. But I'm amazed that you weren't supposed to touch anything at all. Even if there was something dirty on the floor.
No, well, this was a new backdrop anyway, so I was quite lucky. But yeah, nothing.
Whoa, so amazing. And do you always retouch your photos, or maybe you're delegating this to someone else?
No, I retouch all my own stuff at the minute, but my workload is kind of getting a bit crazy, so I am looking to hire someone soon, because honestly, I just want my life back a bit, because it's all I do. I really enjoy the retouching side of it, though.
You do? Really? I don't.
I know, that makes me sound crazy, because a lot of photographers hate it, but I just... It's so therapeutic for me. If you think about it, all it is colouring in all day.
I really like cleaning in my house.
Yeah. Well, put that into retouching.
Well, I used to love retouching, but lately I'm not that much into it, to be honest. It's just taking more time of my hours for shooting.
Yeah.
That's how I feel lately.
I do understand that, which is why I'm thinking about taking on someone on.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like my retouch style is, it's my own kind of thing to my photo, like my stamp on it. It's hard to give that over to someone. So I just do need to find the right person.
Mm-hmm.
But I have been looking and I found a couple. And I think, yeah, I think I'll probably do it in the next month or so.
Oh my God. So guys, you should be very fast in your emails because there are many retouchers that are listening to the show. They're probably going to approach you. So
yeah, hit me up.
Awesome. That was it for today, guys. And next Wednesday, we are getting really chatty. We're both sharing so many stories from our experiences. Maybe you can even learn from our mistakes. So don't forget to show up next Wednesday for the second part of this interview. But before that, come back again on Friday when I'll be here to answer your questions. And if you feel like you need an advice on some topic, just take a look at the show notes on photographypodcast.net, and there you can see all the different ways you can reach out to us and ask for some help. Thank you guys for being with us today, and I cannot wait to see you on Friday.